Let's start with our text in Luke chapter 6 first. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I told Carol on our way over this morning, this Sunday is so different than last Sunday with the cold temperatures we had and the ice and the snow. It's good to see everyone that's able to make it out. So we usually refer to this verse, and rightfully so, about the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And the thing I want to take away from this is the wise man listened to God, the foolish man did not. The wise man listened, the foolish man did not. And we see what transpires because of the one that listened and the one that did not. That's the introduction into the sermon. And as I usually do this time of the year, people are talking and thinking about the birth of Christ. So I want us to look at what did Jesus teach about worshiping him on his birthday. Now, are we going to be the wise man, or are we going to be the foolish man? So I want us to turn in God's word to Luke chapter 2, and we will start there and read about the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there is with him an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told of them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Well, here we have the account of Christ, the account recorded by Luke the historian, but it really doesn't tell anything about worshiping him on his birthday. And we need to keep in mind, too, as he is talking about the birth of Christ, Christ was born under the old law. So whatever they were told to do under the old law would not be binding today because the old law was nailed to the cross. So we don't learn much about worshiping him on his birthday from this account of Luke the historian. Well, let's look at someone that was close to Jesus, John. John chapter 1. Let's see what John, all the information he gives us about the birth of Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then dropping down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a great passage, but it doesn't tell anything about worshiping Christ on his birthday. And notice too, John doesn't mention any of the things that Luke does, talking about the shepherds and the manger and the inn and all of those things. John, he just gets to the point and says, Jesus was in heaven, he came to the earth, he was in the flesh, he dwelt among us. And this is one of Jesus' closest companions, John, the disciple that loved the Lord. And this is all that he records about Jesus coming to the earth. Well, now you know Paul wrote most of the New Testament. You know Paul has to tell us something about worshiping Christ on his birthday. So let's look and consider what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. What does Paul say? He talks about how Christ, again, being in heaven, he came and humbled himself. He died for us. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father of God. Every tongue should confess. But he doesn't mention anything again about the angels and the shepherds and that whole manger scene. And I don't see any instructions from Paul about how to worship Jesus. Well, let's consider Jesus. Who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? You think about those titles, Jesus, his name, that means Savior. He will save us, Matthew 1:21. The Hebrew of that name is Joshua. Matthew 1:23, he's Emmanuel. That means God with us. Christ means he is the anointed one, Jesus the Christ. Lord expresses all grades of dignity, honor, and majesty. We worship him. The Messiah is the anointed one. You had prophets, priests, and kings that were anointed. Christ was the Messiah of all Messiahs. As great as he is, there must be something in the scriptures about worshiping him. Because after all, so many people do it today. We see it all around about us. Friends, again, thinking of Jesus, consider who Jesus is. He is our owner. He paid a great price to redeem us. He sacrificed himself to make us his own. He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to set our steps. He has the right to determine our purpose in life. He has the right to tell us everything. He is our master and owner. And his position makes it clear of what we should do. If he is the master, he owns us, he shed his blood to pay the price to buy us, what is our relationship? What is our responsibility to him? We submit to him and we obey him. We submit and we obey for everything that he has done for us. In obedience, people talk about love and grace and mercy and this and that. And obedience is one of the most important things that we can read about in the New Testament, because obedience is the vehicle that transforms us in from what we were to what we are to become. That one made in the image of Christ. So we must lift Christ higher than everything else that we love or desire. He takes first place in our lives. We exalt him on the throne of our heart. We allow his image to be impressed on us, and we follow that image every day. And because God is holy, he wants his people to be holy. And we reflect the nature and character of God in holiness. Christ, he cleanses us. He sets us apart. He empowers us through his word to live so that those around us can see the power that is in us. Friends, you know, we deserve death. We have earned darkness and separation. But instead, Christ came to the earth and died for us. So there's got to be something in the Bible about celebrating his birthday. There's just got to be something in there. People do it. Well, where do we turn to find that? Well, I don't know if you can read the lettering on top, but sometimes when you look for search on something on your computer and you get this message, this reference 404, the page you were looking for was not found. Friends, when we search in the Bible to see what it says about celebrating the birthday of Christ, the page you were looking for was not found. What do you mean it's not found? The Bible is silent. You mean we are not to celebrate his birthday? No. The Bible tells us to celebrate his death, not his birth. To celebrate his death. And you stop and think about how it tells us how to celebrate his death. And again, you just think about the simplicity of the Bible. The Bible was written in such a way that any people, any time, any area in the world can obey God's words. God, when he talks about baptism, he tells us to be baptized. Is that a hard command? No. 3/4 of the world is covered with water. Water is available. When he gave us the emblems to partake of, as we just did on the Lord's Supper, these emblems are easy to come by. The fruit of the vine, the unleavened bread. And he gives us instructions, directions, and when and how to celebrate his death. What about his birth? Did he forget to have that included in the New Testament? No, Christ didn't forget. He doesn't want us celebrating his birth. He wants us celebrating his death. That's where the hope comes from, the hope of the resurrection. That's how we have hope, why we have hope, why we can face today, why we can face tomorrow, why we can face the unknown, because Christ came and he died for my sins. And I have hope, and I celebrate that by gathering around this table and taking the Lord's Supper, taking the Lord's Supper. Well, why don't we do something else, though? The Bible is playing over and over, and you go back to Malachi, and you think about Malachi, the last prophet that spoke, and when you consider that he was the last prophet that spoke for 400 years, his words just have a little special ring to them. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. If we want to show honor to the Father, what do? We obey him. We do what he says. If we want to show honor to Christ, if we want to show honor to our master, we obey him. We do what he says. We don't come up with some other plan. We follow what he says. Well, most people today like baby Jesus as their Savior, but not their Lord. Friends, Jesus is Lord of everything, especially us. And again, as Lord, we must submit to him. 2 Peter 1:11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. 2 Peter 3:2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. You see, so many people like that sweet little baby, that sweet little Savior that's in a manger that we see up and down the streets everywhere this time of the year. But he is Lord and Savior. Friends, we cannot separate these two, Lord and Savior. And that title, that phrase is repeated over and over and over. Why do I say we can't separate them? We use this principle everywhere else in the Bible. Repent and be baptized. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Husband and wife, husband and wife, let not man separate. Well, you see, God has joined Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord and Savior, Lord and Savior, Lord and Savior. We can't have Jesus as our Savior if he's not our Lord. But people don't want him as their Lord. They want their self to be their Lord. They want to serve their self. They want to do it their way. They want to do it some other man's way. Well, can't we do it some other way? Well, here's another and, another verse that we cannot separate. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, there are people out there that this week will be celebrating the birth of Christ. I'm sure they're celebrating it in spirit. They've got the right spirit, but they don't have the right truth, because we are not to celebrate it. You can't separate those two. If we came in here and everybody was full of spirit and joy and peace and felt really good, but we didn't have a word of truth, God would not accept that. John 17:7, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So if we want truth, we have to go to the word of God. Friends, if Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. We cannot, he cannot be our Lord 50%, 60%. He's got to be our Lord 100%. Well, so that slide that I had back at the beginning with the man looking under the sofa cover, the sofa cushion for the verse of, where's the verse about Christ teaching how to worship him on Christmas? I put that on the community page in the community. I really didn't expect anybody to respond to it. I thought maybe they'll think about it, maybe they'll look at it, maybe they would show up today. But after I put that on, this is one from the community that posted. And again, it's the organization here in town. Soon we will be celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. They give a passage from the Old Testament from Isaiah. And again, the Bible talks about Jesus coming. The Bible gives us everything we need to know about Jesus. And we don't need to know about celebrating his birthday because he doesn't want us to celebrate his birthday. He wants us to celebrate his death. And I find it interesting, too, as I have mentioned this organization before, and you can just recognize it with the red and the red vans and school buses, how it is growing nationally. And some have said they're pushing for national Christianity, nationalizing it. And as I've mentioned, I could not trace back to see where the money is coming from for this, but it's a huge organization nationally. And one of the things that they do say is that they just teach the history of the Bible. They teach this in schools. They teach history, not doctrine. But this is denominational doctrine, celebrating Christmas. Denominational doctrine. So it's everywhere. Here's something that's a little bit more elaborate, and it may be hard to see from where you're sitting. This is in a huge stadium. It says a Texas church is going viral for its Christmas program, which featured live zebras, flying angels, and approximately 1,000 cast and choir members, according to the church. This was a 47-second video, and you would see this person fly in and this one and all of these animals coming up on the stage. It's just entertainment for people. It's entertainment for people, and it's going to take a lot of people to hell because they are worshiping the doctrines of men instead of the doctrine of God. They are not honoring the Father. They are not honoring the Son. And I would say with some of these, all they are honoring is the pocketbook and themselves to make more money. So that's going on in bigger places around town. And these are some slides, not current, but from, as the movies would say, Christmas past. This is one of the local churches and their Christmas assembly. I would say we are probably the only one. There may be another one in town that does not have a service like this, but you see these are their special services. Most places people dress up in costumes. Again, you can't read a word about this. Do you think God is honored when somebody does this? And again, I'm not doubting his sincerity. I'm not trying to make fun of him. But he is doing something that there is no authority for. It's back to where we started. The wise man built his house upon the rock, on the word of God. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Here's some female minister giving a service. And then again, of course, whenever you have these services, they want you to contribute, but don't worry. Don't worry if you can't get out and you're watching this at home. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can donate by going to a PayPal and clicking on Support a Charity. This is unfortunately gaining popularity in so many places, not just denominational churches, I will add. The Giving Tree, this is from the largest church in town, down on the outskirts. Visit the tree, select a tag, shop for the gift, wrap and return, thank you. They also sponsor the Village Pantry. They have full service drive-through. You can't read anything close in your wildest imagination to anything like this in the New Testament. This is all the inventions of men. Here's something they're using. A lot of places will use pictures, verses from the Old Testament about the Jesus birth foretold. I think this is the one right around the corner from us on Brookville, Johnsville. And their service, and of course, if it's a Christmas time, you got to have a Christmas tree, you got to have poinsettias, you got to have candles, all of these things. They have this in a worship service. In a worship service, there's no place for that. A prayer chorus. I don't know if they're singing prayers or what, but this is part of their Christmas service. Their message, born of a virgin. Again, these passages tell us about the birth of Christ, but that's not something to celebrate and turn into a special service. So, are you excited and looking forward to worshiping God today and for time without end? Or do you just want Jesus as your Savior and not your Lord? You know, you see so many children, so many grown-ups get so excited about a holiday, so excited, and they'll make out a list of things to buy, get out their credit card, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with buying or using a credit card, but just get the big picture here. They'll get so excited, they'll start a list, and have to try to outdo everybody and get so excited. But I missed you at services on Sunday. Well, I wasn't feeling good. You know, I stayed up late and I had a long week at work. And they don't get excited at all about the Bible, about what God says, but they get excited about some man-contrived invention that is abhorrent to God. I don't want to speak out of turn, but just to put it in my own words, I imagine it's things like this that would make God sick to his stomach. He sends his son to die on the cross for us, and how do we respond? People dress up in costumes and bring in a sheep and a donkey and sing songs. That is not what God wants. That is not what God deserves. What does the Bible say about worshiping Jesus at Christmas time? Friends, you ain't going to find it. It's not in there. We come together on the first day of the week to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. We celebrate his death. We're instructed to do that, not to celebrate his birth. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, hopefully this will help you as you're talking with people this week and they ask you, well, what's your church doing? What kind of service did you have for Christmas? Hopefully this will help give you some answers to talk with them about. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.